Thank you. That was wonderful. Let me pull back a little bit. We're going to start our service. It's going to be, want to do this in the beginning, but we... Hello? Okay. We actually have... not good? Try this one again. test. All right, they're much better. Okay, we had a situation at our mother church, and there were a lot of people that were getting sick, and we had two ladies that contracted breast cancer. We had another deaconess that was in the hospital, and I mean, it was just, it was like almost three people were in the hospital, a couple were diagnosed with cancer. It was a really bad situation. And so we decided as a church to really start praying and really take a hold of you know, the stuff that's happening at church and really take ownership. And so we met every night together, you know, for probably about a month or so, and we just really prayed for these ladies and asked God to heal them. And so Mrs. Kim is one of the ladies, and she just finished her chemotherapy and her radiation therapy, and she's doing well, praise God. And so, you know, and she's such a nice lady, she's so wonderful, and she grabbed me at church about a month ago and said, hey, we really appreciate all that you've done, you know, and, you know, taking an offering and doing all these things for them. We just want to say thank you. Can we buy you something? You know, and I said, no, you don't have to buy us anything. We don't need anything. It would be nice for you to come and just say thank you to everyone and just share a little bit. And so she's going to share, and Matthew's going to translate. She's going to speak in Korean, and Matthew's going to translate to English. And she just wants to just express her heart to us. And so can you guys just welcome Ms. Kim up here?
I stand here to express my gratitude to God and to all of you here.
솔로몬 스포츠의 많은 분들이 이미 알고 계시고 방금 전에 목사님께서도 샘 목사님께서 말씀해 주셨지만 저는 10개월 전인 2월 5일 날 왼쪽 가슴에 있는 암 제거하는 수술을 받았습니다.
As many of you in Solomon's porch already know, and as Pastor Sam has just mentioned, I received surgery for breast cancer 10 months ago, February 5th, on the February 5th.
그 후 8차례의 항암 치료와 25번의 방사선 치료를 받고 그 치료 과정이 11월 26일 날 모두 마쳤습니다.
During that time, I received 8 times of chemotherapy and 25 times of radiotherapy, radiation treatment. Thank you. And the whole treatment finished last November.
그동안 저와 제 가족을 위해서 기도해 주신 여러분 감사합니다.
Thank you so much for everyone who prayed for me and for my family.
제 몸에 손을 얹고 혹은 또 저를 향해서 팔을 뻗어서 저를 위해서 눈물로 기도해 주던 그 솔로몬 스포츠의 형제 자매들의 그 기도를 저는 잊을 수가 없습니다.
I cannot forget all the prayers of the people who laid their hands on me and stretched their hands toward me and with tears cried out to God. I just can't forget such prayers.
그동안의 치료 과정이 결코 쉽지는 않았습니다.
Definitely the treatment was not easy.
그렇지만 주님과 그리고 너무나 많은 분들의 분에 넘치는 사랑 때문에 저는 행복했습니다.
However, I had during that time I had joy because of the love and prayer from so many people in this place.
주님께서 제게 보여주신 여러 가지 사랑의 표시 중에 하나는 여러분을 통해서 제게 보여주셨습니다.
And through you guys, God showed me many tokens and expressions of His love toward me.
수술 후에 PET scan이라는 것을 제가 했습니다.
After surgery, I received this thing called PET scan.
수술로 암이 모두 제거되었는지, 혹시 제 몸 속에 암 세포가 남아 있는지를 검사하는 것이었습니다.
It was to check if all the cancer cells are removed and if there's any cancer cells left in my body.
근데 그 PET scan이 최신 의료 기술이었기 때문에 비용이 무척 비쌌었습니다.
However, the CAT scan was very expensive because it was the newest technology.
그런데 그 PET scan을 하기 얼마 전에 샘 목사님께서 저희 집에 오셔서 검사 비용을 전해 주셨습니다.
But a couple of days before the CAT scan, Pastor Sam came to my house and gave us the money for the treatment.
네, 솔로몬 스포츠 가족들이 기도하며 모은 것이라면서 그렇게 주셨습니다.
He said that the money is something that all the Solomon Sports people prayed and collected together.
이렇게 하나님은 여러 가지 방법으로 주님이 저와 함께 계시다는 것을 알려 주셨습니다.
In this way and through many other ways God showed me that he is with me.
지난 10개월은 힘들 때마다 그리고 치료 기간 내내 제 오른손을 잡고 함께 하여 주신 주님과의 친밀한 데이트 시간이었습니다.
The past 10 months period was during whenever it was difficult for me, it was like a time that I spent with God, holding my right hand. It was like a time of just dating with him.
치료가 끝났다고 해서 주님이 저를 떠나시진 않겠지만 제 일생에 이와 같은 은혜의 시간이 또 있을까 그렇게 생각이 됩니다.
Of course, God will not leave me because the treatment is over, but I wonder if such intimacy, such time of grace will happen again in my life. I wonder about that.
제가 목사님 조금 길게 해도 괜찮아요? 아니면 괜찮아요? 순간마다 정말 순간마다 하나님께서는 저를 저와 함께 하시고 계시다는 것을 저한테 알려주셨고 그리고 많은 치유 그러니까 하나님께서 직접 치유하신다는 것을 제가 느끼는 시간들이 참 많았습니다.
Constantly, God reminded me that His hand is with me and that God Himself is healing me.
그런데 그 중에 한 가지만 제가 여러분들한테 말씀드리고 싶습니다. 이 말씀을 듣고 혹시 요즘에 마음에 힘이 드신 분이 계시다면 이 이야기가 여러분에게 위로가 되었으면 좋겠습니다.
And out of those experiences, I want to share one incident with you. And I hope that through that sharing, if any of you are going through difficult times, that you will be encouraged.
모두 8차례로 예정된 항암 주사를 두 번째로 맞은 것이 4월 8일이었습니다.
Out of the 8 chemotherapy, the second injection was April the 8th.
빨간 약이라고 불리우는 그 주사는 AC라는 약제인데요. 그것을 맞고 나면 굉장히 속이 그러니까 자꾸 토하고 싶고 그다음에 머리가 빠지고 눈썹도 빠지고 손톱과 발톱이 다 까맣게 되는 그런 독한 약입니다.
This medicine called AC and otherwise is known as the red medicine is very strong and it causes you to be nauseated and causes all your toenails and fingernails to turn black and it's very strong medicine.
항암제를 한번 맞고 나면 그날로 시작해서 보통 일주일 정도는 무척 힘이 듭니다.
If you receive that injection from that day forward for a period of 1 week, you go through a very difficult time.
그런데 4월 8일 날에 그 주사를 맞기 전에 제게 작은 소원이 한 가지 있었습니다.
But I had one wish before that injection on the April the 8th.
그때 저희 홍콩 한인교회 교회 식구들과 여기 솔로몬 스포츠의 가족들이 전부 함께 Passion of Christ라는 영화를 같이 관람하기로 되어 있었습니다.
Because before the injection, we had a plan with the church, family of the church, and the family members of Solomon's Porch to get together and watch the movie, The Passion of the Christ, together.
나중에 저희 가족과 함께 같이 가서 봐도 되는데 꼭 그날 같이 교회 식구들과 함께 그 영화를 보고 싶었습니다.
I mean, I could watch it with my family members too, but I really wanted to watch that movie with the church family that time.
그렇지만 기도를 하면서도 이미 마음의 80%쯤은 포기를 하고 있었습니다.
However, even though I was praying, I pretty much gave up on that about 80%.
8일날 오후 주사를 맞고 나서부터 아무것도 먹지 못하고 밤새 토하기만 하다가 다음날 아침에 눈을 떴습니다.
From the afternoon of the 8th of April, I could not eat anything. I was vomiting the whole time. And the next day, I woke up.
그런데 작은 딸이 너무 제 얼굴을 불쌍한 그런 얼굴을 하면서 접시에 김밥을 가지고 들어왔습니다.
And my younger daughter looked at my face. She was very compassionate, And then she came with kimbap, sushi to me.
이해하실지 모르겠지만 아, 제 근데 음식 냄새도 전혀 맡지 못하고 정말 음식 냄새만 맡아도 막 토하고 물만 마셔도 토하고 그러던 제가 그 김밥이 먹고 싶어졌습니다.
During that time, I couldn't smell food. You know, as soon as I smell food or drink water, I would vomit immediately. But at that time, I really wanted to eat that kimbap.
여러분이 이해하실지 모르겠지만 정말 그것은 있을 수 없는 일이었습니다.
I don't know if you would understand, but that was something impossible to happen.
그래서 그 김밥을 입에 넣고 하나를 놓고 삼키려다가 아차 그랬습니다.
I was about to put that kimbap into my mouth, but I was, you know, surprised and worried that time.
왜냐하면 그 주간은 제가 아침 금식 중이었거든요. 고난 주간이었기 때문에.
The reason I was so surprised and was that during that time was my turn for fasting during that week because that was the week of the passion.
그래서 저는 얼른 아 주님 죄송해요 하고는 입에 있는 음식을 뱉으려고 했습니다.
So I was about to, you know, take that food out of my mouth saying, "Oh Lord, I'm sorry."
그런데 그 순간 지금도 잊혀지지 않는 하나님의 음성을 제가 마음으로 들었습니다.
But at that time, I heard the voice of God in my heart that I still cannot forget.
먹어라. 내가 먹게 하는 것이니 먹으라 그러셨습니다.
Eat it. It is the food that I give to you. Eat it.
그날은 예수님께서 십자가에 못 박히신 날이었습니다.
That was the day when Jesus Christ was crucified.
예수님은 쇠고리가 달린 채찍에 매 맞고 십자가에 매달리시고 그렇게 돌아가셨으면서 그 시간에 너무나 하찮은 저의 아침을 챙기고 계셨습니다.
Lord Jesus was whipped with the metal pieces and he was crucified on the tree. Yet he was taking care of little me, my breakfast, and he was was concerned about my breakfast.
감사로 눈물을 뚝뚝 흘리면서 그 김밥을 한 접시 다 먹었습니다.
Thankful tears falling from my eyes, I ate the whole plate of kimbap.
그리고 그 다음 날 교회 식구들과 함께 예수님의 고난과 바로 나를 위해서 흘리신 예수님의 피를 보았습니다.
And the day after, with the church family, I watched the movie The Christ the Passion and about Jesus who bled and died for me.
여러분들 행복하시지요?
Church, are you happy?
좋으신 예수님의 자녀라는 것이요.
Because you are the children of our good God.
저도 너무나 행복합니다.
I also am very happy.
그동안 아팠던 거, 힘들었던 거 모두 잊어버렸습니다.
The pain and all the difficulties that I experienced, I forgot them all.
주님과 그리고 여러분의 사랑만 제게 남았습니다.
I only remember the love of the Lord and you guys.
제가 혹시 그 은혜를 잊어버릴까봐 하나님께서 제 가슴에 긴 흉터를 남겨놓으셨습니다.
And so that I may not forget His love, He left a long mark in my body.
제가 건망증이 좀 심하거든요.
Because I'm often very forgetful.
잊지 않고 여러분이 제게 주셨던 사랑과 기도를 저도 다른 사람들에게 나누어주며 살겠습니다.
I'll try not to forget the love. And I will try to give back the love and prayer for other people who need such grace.
하나님을 찬양합니다.
I praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. Why don't we, you know, you guys that did come out those evenings, why don't you just get around her and let's just pray for her. And let's ask God to continue the healing process in our life. And so you guys know who you are, the guys that came out those mornings or those evenings in sacrifice. Just cover her and let's just pray for her. Right? Let's just all, as a church, let's extend our hand and pray for her as well. Lord, we just reaffirm, God, that you're such a good God. Lord, just loving, God, compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. And Lord, and you take our lives, God, and you make it something splendid, Lord. You take all of our tests, God, and you turn them into testimonies. Lord, we just thank you for Mrs. Kim, God. We thank you, Lord, for healing her, God, and just being with her this whole time, Father God, through chemo, through radiation therapy, God. And you've never left her side, and you'll never leave her side, God. And let her just continue to walk in that intimacy, God. Continue to walk in that grace. And we just cover her. We cover her husband, their two girls, God. Lord, bless this family, Lord. Let them walk in incredible grace, God. We thank you so much, Lord, for just letting us be a part of, God, of what you're doing in her life. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. This is great. Let's pray for the kids. Let's send the kids off to their Sunday school, and then we'll get on with our service. Let's pray. God, we just thank you for our little ones, God, and we thank you that they're so precious, God, in your sight, and they're precious in our sight as well, Lord. And so be with them. God, be with Sarah as she leads and teaches tonight or today, Father. Lord, I pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation would come over her, God, and she'd be able to extend that grace to these kids as well. Just bless them today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, you guys are dismissed. Today is our South Africa service, right? And so we have a group of people that are going to South Africa on the 26th. That's in a couple Sundays. And we'll pray for them as a group on that Sunday because they'll be here. They'll be leaving a little later that afternoon. But we just want to hear what they're going to do there, why they're going, and we just want to give them a love offering as well. Okay? And so I'm going to turn the mic over to Jimmy. Are you going to... you're going to take over? I'll turn it on now.
Thank you. Praise God. Thank you for that touching testimony. Jesus does heal today. Amen. You didn't sound convincing to me. Jesus, he heals today. He's alive. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And he used your prayers. He's using your prayers even now with us as we're about ready to go to South Africa. We are totally excited about this. And we've been meeting for many weeks on weekends, and we're going to double those meetings now as we get closer to our time of departure. As a team, we will be leaving on the 26th of December. And you know what feels really good about this is that we're not going alone. We're going with your hearts and your spirits with us. And that really encourages us that you believe in us, you're with us, and we go with much confidence. We go with much confidence, not in ourselves. We go with much confidence in God. We go with much confidence in His love and not our love. That we know that God will use us as His vessels to show forth His love from Solomon Porch. And also those that are going to be joining with us. We have some guests with us today. And we're just asking the Lord just to bless this time. That this will be a real special time for you. As you would hear our hearts today. We've been meeting. We've been praying. We've been strategizing. We've gone through trials together, which really that's quite normal when you bring a team together to go do God's work. I feel that we are unified now, and God's doing some really special things within us. There's no use to going somewhere to show, demonstrate God's love to someone else if there's not any love between yourselves. And so that's what it's all about. We start with ourselves first, loving one another. And as that unity, God promises a unity among us, that He commands a blessing. And so that blessing is so we can give it away. Did you know that everything that God has given you, everything, including His love, is so that you might give it away? You know what a practice that I love to practice? God, would you fill me with your love so I could just give it away? It's not for me to keep, is it? If I just keep it to myself, guess what? It's going to be like the Dead Sea. It's just everything's going to die. It's going to stink, and I'll stink around everybody else as well. But to be filled with God's love is to give God's love away. And it's a good practice when you go home to your families before you go inside that door. God, fill me with your love that I might give it away. And that's what we want to do in South Africa. We want to just give God's love away. And what's really, really going to be dynamic about our team is multicultural and it's international. I love the fact that we're going to South Africa with an international multicultural team. And that will speak in itself the dynamics of God's love and His blessings. It's powerful anywhere you go with a team that's a mixed or integrated team. Because the only way we can come together and actually love each other, really love each other, we got to have Jesus' Spirit. You see? And so God is with us. Your prayers are with us. He hears every one of those prayers that you prayed up for us. And I'm just excited to see what it's going to do. And this this trip to South Africa really was birthed in my heart back in year 2000. And because that's when we went to South Africa the last time. We went there for a big convention there. And it was there that they had this international AIDS convention. And it was there that I was exposed to the conditions of South Africa. And my heart just really went out for the children as I thought about the children. And I'm going to share a lot more about that later on. But I'm going to have my team come up in a moment. And as God planted in my heart a love for children that have no hope, I hope He does the same with you. The first time that I was exposed to children on a face-to-face situation was when I was in Las Vegas in the year 1992. And my wife and I and my children and a few other people, we went over to this AIDS clinic for children from the ages about 3 to 6 years old. And these kids didn't have any hope. These kids were going to die. And we went over to just to give them some kind of hope, just to bless them, to love them, and to point them to Jesus. But to our surprise, they had already known Jesus, and they were excited about going home to be with Him. It was incredible. They were not afraid of death because they knew where their true home was at. I was surprised. And I remember the thing that touched me the most was when these children took some balloons and they wrote drew little pictures on little piece of paper, and they wrote little notes to their friends that had gone before them, and they put these little piece of paper, the message inside the balloons, and then they went outside. We went outside together, and they released those balloons into the heavens, and we all stood outside and we watched the balloons disappear in the sky. And they were so overjoyed because they knew, they thought, because they're just children, that their friends that had already died and gone to heaven would get their message of love from them, that they missed them and that they would see them soon. And I remember that touched me so deeply. I said, God, if you can use me in this area to bring some hope, do that, Lord. I'm available for you anytime you want to. And so it's been a process for me in this area. You know, God loves those children very much. Many of them have no hope. They have no hope. Some of them that we will see have not heard about Jesus. Many of them have. But we can just touch the heart of one of those children. Just one of them. Hopefully a lot more. I would be satisfied that they can go home in peace. Maybe, like what you just had, He will use us to heal them. I'm going with that kind of faith. I'm preparing our team for that kind of faith to believe that Jesus will heal some of them. Amen? He can do that. There's nothing impossible for Him. It's not in His vocabulary, impossibilities. But he takes that as an opportunity to bring healing when there seem to be impossibilities before us as human beings. So if I can just have my team come up for a moment. If you guys can come up here. I'm going to move this over. Oh, there we go. I'm glad it rolls. This is our team, and Simon's not here, and these guys are wonderful people, and we feel so a part of Solomon's Porch. I just want to thank Sam and Lisa because they have been so supportive to us and have blessed us. When you have support and backings, and you know that people believe in you, you can do anything. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
And I'm used to churches saying, yeah, brother, preach it. Okay? live. But we go as your extended family when we go. And I'm so happy that knowing that you're going to be praying for us while we're there and you're going to commission us out as we go. That's very important. And we want to go and face-to-face with not only the children, but those that are working with children. And Bernice will share a little bit about that a little bit later, about our going face to face and what that actually means. Samunye. Samunye is a Zulu word. It means we are one. And what we're going to do now is I'm just going to have our team share. Most of them are going to share with you why they're going to South Africa. Okay? And we changed the order a little bit, you guys, so stay flexible. The theme of ours is always be flexible. So they're learning flexibility, okay? Okay, if I can have Florentina go ahead and start, that'd be great.
I'm going to share about a bit of my testimony and why I'm going to go to South Africa. So it's, Jimmy said a large part of what I was going to say. I don't think he knew that, though. But yeah. I'm the only child, and I was raised in a Catholic home. So my father's family was Catholic, like they've always been Catholic. But I'm from India, so my mother's family was Hindu. But my mother, like, she converted by faith, and so ever since I was little, like, I've always grown up believing in God, and I've always known that there was God, and He was always watching over me. Like, that's something my mother instilled in me since I was really little. So and since I was the only child, I was really protected. So I, like, grew up just knowing that God was always there, and I was always, like, protected by Him. But that didn't really, I wasn't really very good. Like, I know we're all sinners, but I was, like, I grew up, and I'd go through life, and, like, I'd know I was sinning, but that wouldn't stop me. I'd be like, if it suited my purpose, I'd be like, okay, yeah, big deal. Like, God still loves me. And, you know, I just go ahead and do whatever I wanted to do. And, like, now, looking back, I can see how I've changed. So I came to Hong Kong, and I reached a point in my life where I had to make a choice, and it was a choice that would affect the rest of my life. And the funny thing was that all my options were good. Like, there was no bad option. Like, I had four options, and they were all equally good. There was, like, all equally beneficial. They were all equally good. But for some reason, I couldn't make the decision. Like, it was such a huge decision to make. And I just couldn't decide, because it was, like, just too much of a decision to make. And then, one day I just, like, got down on my face, and I was like, you know what, God? I think that was the first time I actually really, really called upon God. Like, before, I'd call upon Him, and He'd always pull me through everything, but this was the first time I just got down on my face, and I was like, you know what, here are the keys, you decide. You know, like, these are my options, but it doesn't matter. I'm willing to do anything. If you want me to, like, go to, like, Somalia or something and be a missionary for the rest of my life, I'll do that. Like, I literally just handed the keys over. I said, you drive. I can't do this. And that was really a turning point in my life, because ever since then, I can just see how much I've changed. And, like, now, like, if I know I'm, like, integrity, right? Like, I don't, like, deliberately sin anymore. Like, I'd control myself, and I've changed, and like, God's really worked in me, like, so many ways. Like, I've changed. I used to be, like, really snobbish, and yeah, I was like this big snob, and I was the only child. I was really proud. I've just changed so much. Like, I was so worried. I used to be really, really insecure. Like, I can see that now, but at that time, I didn't know that. And, like, I would never eat a meal alone. Like, it was like social suicide. Like, I was so used to being, like, the center of attention. I'd thrive on attention, like, all through high school, university. Like, that's who I was. Like, I wouldn't do anything that was, like, socially, like, you know, not, I don't know, like, I had to be, like, in the middle of it. And I can just see how God's changed that. Like, He brought me out of, like, He took me away from home. He brought me to Hong Kong, away from my family, away from my friends. Like, I can totally eat a meal alone now, and, like, I'm cool with that. Like, I don't have issues with that. And yeah, God just really worked in me. Like, I don't obsess about the way I look anymore. Like, I've like, gained so much weight, and I'm cool with that. Yeah, like I've really, really changed. And I had so many questions about God, like, when I first started, like, really, really believing in Him and living for Him. And, like, I'd, like, look everywhere for answers. But, like, in the past couple of months, I've really learned that God provides the answers. And I've had, like, all of my questions answered, which is, like, just so amazing for me. Like, anything I want to know, like, God just answers me. Like, I just sit down and wait. I'm like, I'm not going to sleep till you tell me. And He tells me. He just pulls through every single time. And I just feel so blessed because I've just received so much in my life, like all through. Like I've never been in want of something and not received it. I've never been able, like I've never prayed for something and not got that. And I just feel like so blessed that I could have that from God. And like that's why now I feel like I just want to share that because I've received so much in my life. I just want to be able to share that with people. And if I can just make a difference to somebody's life, I think that would just be so amazing. Like, just give glory to God because that's what He's all about. And, like, I always thought you had to be really holy and really good and really godly to be close to God. But, you know, you don't. Just be yourself and just seek Him. And He just comes after you and He answers you every time. And so that's kind of why I've changed so much. And that's why I'm going to go to South Africa. The minute I had the opportunity to serve, I was like, yeah, I want to do it. Just share the love that I have received. Just give it so that people come to know God and Jesus and just know how much He loves us. So that's pretty much me and why I'm going to South Africa.
Thank you. Now, we have... Sometimes I shake the team up a little bit with surprises. And so one meeting we were having, I just spontaneously said, hey, you're on an airplane... You got 25 seconds. The captain. You got 30 seconds. The captain just said you're going to crash. There are people on the airlines who don't know Jesus. You're the only one that knows Jesus. Oh, you only have 25 seconds now, and you got to give your testimony within 25 seconds. Oh, you only got 18 seconds. Okay, start. What do you say? You're going to die in 18 seconds, and you have the only. You have the answer to everyone's life, eternal life, right there in your mouth, in your heart. What would you say to them? And so that's why some of them are giving their testimonies. They're learning how to give their testimonies. Just condense it all really short. I like one version. Help! I'm going to die! I'm going to heaven, are you? But what would you do in a situation like that? You know you're going to heaven. And so we're learning. And to give your testimony, what your life was like before you gave your heart to Jesus. And how did you give your heart to Jesus? What did you do? Did you make a commitment? Did you ask Him to your heart? And then what was your life like after you've made a commitment to Jesus? And so you never know, you know. The reason why I'm having them do this is because I practice this way. Because sometimes you're on buses, you're on trains, and you just only meet a person for a moment. And the Holy Spirit speaks to us and say that person needs salvation. And you just have a moment to lead them to Christ. And it happens. There have been times when I've shared the gospel with somebody and they resisted, and you read about them in the papers the next day they had a car accident. You know, you just never know. You may be the last person to be able to give that person some hope. And so your testimony is the most important thing you have in this world. You have the answer to every person's problem in the world living within you. Bernice is going to share next.
Hello, yeah. I'm actually really new to Solomon's Porch, extremely, extremely new. Angela brought me here. But it was only maybe my second or third time, and it was so sporadic the way I attended this church. And I came here, and Jennifer sat down next to me, and she said, hey, you know we're going to South Africa. And I said, wow, I've been to South Africa twice. And I went around. I love that place. It was amazing. I said, sure, why not? Let's go. Yeah, I'm going to look at the babies on the side, you know, yeah, that's minor, you know, whatever, I'm going to make a fun trip out of it. But the thing was, it's an amazing time. I think I started a new business about a year ago, and any one of you that done a business before you start your own thing, it's a rough ride, but it was great in the beginning. It was the most amazing thing that started. I have to say it's an amazing year, despite all the issues that I had, because I was making profits about $100,000 for a month's work, but it was pride. I didn't have the time to thank anyone. I didn't have the time to thank God. And you know what? That was taken away from me pretty fast. I was given chances. I think all the time God always gives you choices. You're given choices all the time to make your own mistakes and to give you the opportunity to see what you're doing. And I was given numerous times to save certain projects, and I never did. Say thank you for what He has given me. It was all about me. Financial gains, this and that, everything. And the thing is, despite all my issues at hand, somehow I have friends like Angela, or Jennifer to just, or Jacinta. I say, Jacinta, she's so happy. I say, what's going on over there? You know? I'm like, she's always like, hi. I'm like, wow. It's the cake girl. I always call her the cake girl. I'm like, dude, you got to check out the cake girl. She's really happy over there. And then so I start coming. Now, when I see Cape Town, South Africa, and AIDS kids, you know what? It starts to click to me. What is it? You need to be able to know. If everything is put into perspective for me, God is able to give me certain opportunities. I would never be able to see this before. If I had kept all my money, every business, everything went well, everything in my life went well, I think I would never be here. And eventually I'd be 50, and maybe something else is missing, and that would be too late. So I'm thankful for the opportunity now, because the perspective given to me is, although I think about what business or what deal I'm going to lose, my God, I'm not dealing with life and death. That's never an issue for me. I never think where my next meal going to come from. I know I have my family. I know I have my friends. I can go play if I want to, and I can stay home. These are all options I've always had. And so that's why I said, hey, you know, go to South Africa, worry about someone else, and you see your problem is not a big deal. So I was telling Jimmy, hey, it's almost like God saying, stop whining. You know, do you see what you have? You're almost like in the land of milk and honey. Isn't that what it is? And then you weren't able to enjoy it. So you're still whining. You're still complaining. And you still want more. So that's why I figured, like in my circle of friends and the people that I know, it's almost like what Jimmy has given us, a Bible verse, was that use the riches for good. You almost have to command it for good. The charity event, I think at one point, no matter how much we planned for it or how inexperienced we were, for the last hour, we had to do some crazy things, change venue. But you know what? We were able to grab most of our core group of friends who had money more than they usually could care to count. But they came for a good cause. And for that good cause and for that one night, somebody can do something good. It meant a lot to me. And it's special for us because this is really a lesson for me. And ever since, I've really put my life back into perspective, and I was had the opportunity to have people to help me along the way. I've actually been given more opportunities for my business, and it's turned into much better ways. I mean, deals come through without me even expecting it would. So it's almost like God saying, hey, you know, put your faith in me, and I do it for the glory of Him. And that's amazing that I can do it at 31 rather than 51. All right.
You know what's really neat is to know that Solomon's Porch, the vision that our pastor has, is to touch the world. I mean, the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us to go throughout the whole world and preach the gospel, and we literally are starting to do that. Cambodia, Uzbekistan, South Africa, and who knows what else God has for us. Amen. China, you know, it's exciting that we can do this together. We're not a lot of people, but we can touch a lot of people with God's grace and His Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, we have someone really special, some people very, very special to us today, and they are South Africans. They are not black South Africans, but they are Africans. Aren't you Africans?
Yes.
And they're going to prove it. They have rhythm. They're going to dance for you today. And I shouldn't put that expectation thing like that. Huh? But come on up. this is Nolisa, and when I called her up, she said, yes, I'll be more than happy to come. They're Nate's friends, and so we just really appreciate them coming. I'm just going to give the mic to them and let them share.
Hello. We greet you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yes. In South Africa, I used to work in a what we call a township, which means that it's in one of the black areas, and it was a Christian school, and I was taught there that that's how the way we greet is, or the blacks greet each other. They say, "I greet you in the name of Jesus," and then the whole congregation says, "Amen." Okay, so we'll try again. I greet you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So there you go. You got to sing it a bit. You can't just say
yeah,
it.
Right.
You got to sing it. Okay.
Amen.
This is Bonnie. Bonnie came. Sorry.
You meant to say, how's it, when you get to South Africa. So.
How's it?
How's it? The other way. That's how you greet other people. How's it? Say amen.
And I'm Julia. And another way of greeting is Salbona.
Salbona.
Salbona. Yeah, it's one wonderful privilege for us to be here with you. We've been having church since 8 this morning. So so we're full of the Spirit of God and very excited to be here. It's really a privilege for us. And it's very exciting for us to just see that you guys will be going to our country and be blessing our country, as you will, I'm sure. And we're Africans, eh? We don't look it, but we are it. And if we see that flag, I saw the flag somewhere. Where did I see the flag? Ah, there you go. Yeah, we see the flag and we get so excited because what a wonderful country we come from. Eh? We don't look the part, but we are Africans in our hearts, and we have black hearts, we have dark hearts. I mean that in the best possible way. We've got hearts of Africans. What I wanted to say, I was trying really hard to get the line here. We want to do a dance for you guys. That's really done on the mines. It's called a Gambu dance. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
We actually want you to stand up and dance with us. Do you dance in your church? Is that all right?
Ask the pastor.
Pastor Sam, is it all right if we dance in your church? Yeah, but you guys at least have to join in. It's called a Gambu dance, and really, it just Jules is doing it in high heels. We don't have gumboots here. We're doing it in our heels shoes, but I'm sure it'll. Yeah, please take your shoes off. And you guys can please join us. Because we'll just show you first, okay? We'll show you first, and then you'll join us later. You have to start by Jules, you too. We didn't really practice this very well. Okay. It goes like this. You say one time, two times, three times, four times. Okay? And it's a gumbo dance. So, yeah. Yeah, okay. But we'll just show you. We got talent, eh? That's hard work.
Now we're convinced
to get
South
African. Yeah. What a wonderful country. Eh? That's just what we can say about it. I want to encourage you guys that you're going to have such a good time. South Africa is fun. The African people are fun people. They do not feel sorry for themselves, and you do not need to feel sorry for them. But because, you know, we have an idea that if people don't have money, then they're sad, you know. And you'll find that some of the happiest people you'll meet will be there, you know. They don't have anything to measure riches by, but just by the love in their hearts, you know. And, So, I think you guys, you're gonna go there to bless, but God's going to bless you. And, I see those kids on the back there, and they're just going to capture your hearts, and you're going to come back with a continent on your heart, you know? Yeah, Africa is a great place.
I just wanted to say that almost before you go, it's almost like a warning because Africa gets in your blood. It really does. You go there and you get such a heart for it, so be careful. It gets in your blood and you'll want to go back.
We have a saying that says you can take the monkey out of the bush, but you cannot take the bush out of the monkey, right? So you can bring all of us, you can bring us all the way to Hong Kong, but you can't take Africa out of your hearts. You just, you know, we just want to eat with our hands when we see people eating with chopsticks and stuff. We just want to get real. Okay, we're gonna teach you a song, and now you really have to dance with us. So this is very easy, though. That's the thing about Africa, is there's rhythm, right? That's how you can distinguish an African from a Chinese person. Africans have rhythm. So you can please stand with us. I'm going to try and play it on the piano. Is it on? It goes like this. Hallelujah, Hosanna. Do you know it? No? Okay, Jules and Bonnie, please show them how to dance it. No, it's not on. There's no lights here.
Oh, you know what?
You've got
to
pull out. Okay, we're gonna sing it once, but we want you to join us. So please stand up and get ready to sing. And when you sing this, and if you want to say thank you, you've got to say Inkosi Kakhulu. Inkosi. Inkosi Kakhulu. And Molweni means hello, all of you. Molweni. And thank you very much for having us. It's that one? You mean that? That's not very feminine. I can't do it. I can, some of the songs that we sing. What's that song we were going to sing then? That we're not going to do anymore? Aheko Fananawe. Fananawe. And then, Aheko Fananawe. Gosiyama. I can't remember. But, they've got the sounds, like three sounds, right? Each have a different meaning, yeah. The Q sound is a right, and then you've got the C is, and then you've got the X, which is. Amen. Yeah. Oh, thanks
thank
so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It is so neat to be able to just enjoy God's people from different lands, different backgrounds, different cultures. You know, God is so diverse, isn't he? I love that. I wish I could do it, you know. I love it, you know. But I just stay on the same way. We just, and Lisa and Linda, we just love missions. We love being out in the mission field. We just thrive off of it, you know. so much fun. All the different foods you get a chance to be exposed to as well. You know, it's great, huh? All God's delights. It's wonderful. So could I have, let's see, Angela, can you come up?
I've received the Lord 13 years. So if I really want to share with you all the details, we'll be here 13 years. I really don't really know which part that I can really share with you because God's just done so much. Maybe I'll start from when I was the seven-year-old little girl. I always wanted to see my mom and dad come back together. I've lost them to the divorce, you know, their divorce, and it was like a major thing, I think, for someone who is a perfectionist that wants to see people come together. So I think God to me is a God of reconciliation. He's a peacemaker to me. How do I begin to tell you? I really don't know. I don't know which one to share with you. I've got so many today. Maybe I will start with what I really want to share. How this gift of eternal life has changed my life. I arrived in Hong Kong in 1991, and I had all these degrees and everything, and life seems to be going so well on the outside. And inside, I was desperately depressed. I missed having a loving family life, and at seven, I lost my father in the divorce. 22 years, I indirectly resented my mom. I took courage to look for my dad, and I did find him, really by God's grace, because not only God let me find my earthly father, but my heavenly father, most of all. He gave me the gift of eternal life. In fact, the lady who shared this wonderful gift to me is the mother of someone I see, Jacinta. Jacinta's mother was the one who took time to walk with me every morning since I came back to Hong Kong. And it was her friendship with me that really touched my heart. And she listened to all my problems for so long. It really is a show. It really shows me God's love. And when I look back since that day, I was also like Florentina. I was born in a Catholic family. And so I thought I already know Jesus, you know, in the head. It took a long time before that traveled down to my heart. Even on the day when I received Jesus, it was quite a proud way of receiving him. It's sort of like, yeah, I already know him, so, you know, just, yeah. It took about another year. One morning, and I woke up, and I realized that the Holy Spirit was in me. And through his word and everything, and I was always memorizing God's word. And one of the things that really motivated me was John 16:24. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. And I did ask. I asked God, please bring my mom and dad together. And he did. That was a very special day in a Chinese restaurant. My mom ordered about 14 dishes from shark fin soup to lobsters to crabs. What other things? There's 14 dishes for three people, huh? I just couldn't believe my dad is a real stinge before, but he never made a complaint, and it was really funny. He remembered it for years afterwards. Now, the completion of my joy in my story is when my mom received Christ in 97, April 13th, the day after I shook my fist to the Lord and I say, I give up on this woman, and she received him amazingly. Didn't worry about walking down in the rain in the football stadium, at a crusade, and I had my little dog with me, and she said, how long would it take? And I was just about to utter those words, it will take an eternity, but I didn't say it, otherwise she would have been upset. And then I see how she changed, and then my dad came to the Lord in 99, a year before he died, and that was also amazing. So, you know, through this friend, Jacinta's mom, who showed me how to pray, and my life has been sprinkled with joy and good news. I don't know how else to tell you. I mean, I come from, you know, I changed 11 jobs in 5 years. I've moved 24 places in 41 years. So pretty nomadic. And Jimmy was the first person who moved my, you know, in his sharing about kids in Mongolia. That's really what set off this idea of going out to reach children, outreach children in Mongolia. But I find, like the African team just now, the song and dance people, it's really them that reached me, not me reaching them. You know, they really taught me so much. And one of the things that in the past four missions team to Outer Mongolia, I've been doing beading with five colors and just sharing the gospel through, you know, black, you know, being sin. Does everyone know that, you know, the colorless, the color, just working the gospel of the colors? And as I was doing this flag just this morning, guess what? The colors are all there. Yeah, it's, you know, I got the black for sin, Jesus' blood, and abundant life, the Holy Spirit, blue. And the yellow, the eternal life. I know Jimmy's coming over. and I really want to take that good news with the South African flag to the children. Just one more. I just want to say how God has been amazing, because I've suffered 28 years with severe pain. And I've been through six operations. I was going to show you the sizes of the things that has been dug out of my body. I mean, I have so many cysts. I mean, I won't go into tremendous detail, but, you know, God is so amazing as he lead me to know him more and more. I know I can even surrender my health. Even sometimes with bad health, I get to these places. I can still see how he works beyond and over my physical state. So, you know, he's awesome, God. That's all I want to say. Amen.
One of the things that you said, Angela, that really, really reminded me of this is that oftentimes when you are set to go to a different nation to share with different people and to love different people, you go there to give. But it is true. You end up getting more back. Could be, you know why? Because you can never outgive God. You can't outgive him. You can try it. Some people have tried to outgive God, but they just can't do it. There was a man who lived on 10% of his earnings, and he gave God 90%. He changed it around. You know, 10% of your tithing. He lived on the 10% and gave God the 90%, and he became one of the richest men in the world. You cannot outgive God. Okay. Now we have a special surprise. My wife Linda's going to come up now, and she's got something special for you.
Good afternoon. I have a question. How many of you go to KFC, Colonel Sanders KFC? Come on now, I know. Some of you probably are planning on going after church, right? Don't you think the chicken is a bit oily, huh? But the biscuits and the corn are wonderful. Anyway, that's not a plug for KFC. He gave a quote, and he said, life doesn't have to be easy to be wonderful, quote unquote. And I pondered that saying, and I thought, yes, when you know Jesus, life is wonderful, because he's a wonderful God. He's our mighty King, the Prince of Peace. And there was a time where I didn't know that. And I tell you, there's a lot of people in this world who don't know that, and they're suffering, and they're dying, and they have diseases, and or they're angry with God, so they can't really see that. And I didn't see that. And I've had a lot of hard knocks in my life, some of them literally. But I liken my life to the story of the Good Samaritan. And you probably know the story about the poor soul who got robbed and beaten and left on the road, and many people passed him or stepped over him, religious people at that. And there was one man, the Good Samaritan, who stopped and had compassion on him and had mercy on him because he had been left for dead. And he lifted up that poor soul and put him on the humble donkey and took him to a safe place, an inn, and gave him a fresh bed and paid for many days for him to recover. And it took a while, but God showed me that I'm that poor soul. And sin had beaten me and left me for dead. And when I met Jesus, he's the Good Samaritan, and he lifted me up. And he brought me into a safe place, which is salvation in him. And I will never forget that, because my life took a complete turnaround. And I just went crazy. I started telling everybody about Jesus. I couldn't hold back. I wrote letters home, and I thought the sky is blue, the trees are greener, and I've got joy. And I had never experienced that before, and it was a very real thing in my life. And because of that, because Jesus is my Good Samaritan, I must go to South Africa. I must go. And I must go and see those children. Because I want to see Jesus. He's there with the poor, and he's there with the needy. And I know I'm going to see him in a way that I don't normally see him. And I'm not going because I want to be a submissive wife. That's one reason. But I've been there before, and I saw many things that left an impression on my heart. So that's another reason I know I must go back, and this has been an opportunity. So, remember what else I wanted to say quickly. There's a song, and the words are, you probably know the song, "There is None Like You." It's about Jesus. There is none like him. Do you agree? There is nothing else in this world compared to him. And the words are, children are healed by your hands. And, I'm not thinking right now. Well, I would like to just interpret it through movement and as they begin to play the music. And I invite you to sing, to worship with me.
My heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you.
Your mercy flows like
testing. Thanks, honey.
Thanks, Jimmy. I think a lot of you have actually heard my testimony already before I went to Uzbekistan. So I'm just going to just talk about why I'm going to South Africa. I mean, I guess my testimony gets thrown in there a little bit because, I mean, there's no other reason why I'd go. And it's been just an amazing year for me being a part of Solomon's Porch. And, you know, how I arrived here, I believe, was the hand of God. And just every event that's taken place afterwards, like I did the Growing in Christ. First I did EG, right? And then I did the Growing in Christ. And following that, you know, Annie, who's in Uzbekistan right now, kept, you know, hey, Sean, you should come, you should come. I was like, I don't know about that. And and Jimmy actually also wanted me to go to Mongolia with them. And it's like, you know, what's going on, you know? What's going on? All this stuff's happening in my life. And what happened was is when I came into the church, I mean, I'd said a prayer before I came in because I stopped drinking probably about 8.5 years ago. And it was, you know, through the hand of God that had happened. And because I have a history in my family with you know, drinking problems. I mean, generations, just goes way back. And and it was prophesied over me twice through the prophetic conference and also Jimmy that I was going to be one instrumental in breaking a lot of those family you know, curses and stuff like that. And so it's just when I was having a difficult time about almost a year ago, you know, and I was actually in a bar and I was hanging out and not really knowing what to do with myself and really being uncomfortable and thinking, well, you know, maybe I should have a drink and just, you know, get used to, you know. I thought, what am I thinking, you know? I don't want to go back to where I was before because it was in a real bad place, you know. It literally almost destroyed my life as it destroyed my parents' lives. And so I said a simple prayer, basically, that God, I need to get to know you better. And since that point, it was just rapid. I was like, boom, right into the church. I really feel so a part of this church. I mean, you people really are my family. It's an emotional day. And, no, I really mean that, you know. It's just, I feel really tight with everyone here. And, you know, I can honestly say that, you know, I really love this church, you know, from my heart. And I love most of the people here, you know, trying to be as honest as I can. And it's just that, you know, God has basically just been breaking me from the day I've came here, breaking me in so many different ways. And he's been speaking to me through dreams. He's putting people in my lives that, you know, it's just been blowing me away. And, you know, within this year, I mean, this is my second mission trip. I mean, this just isn't me, is it? You know, how did this happen? You know, I'm on my second mission trip in a year. And so much has gone on. I mean, I've gone through a lot of emotional turmoil. A lot of you have sort of seen that. And it's just been like a roller coaster ride. And it's, I'd say, you know, this is like the season when I started last year. And this season, you know, There's been some really good stuff going on with me, even right now, within this month. And I felt a little bit of a breakthrough, even just in the last couple of days, where I've almost kind of ceased to stop fighting, stop struggling with certain issues. And really, the reason why I'm going to South Africa is just to see what else would be put on my heart and how much more I would be broken by what I see over there. I don't know what's going to happen when I go there. I know when I was in Uzbekistan, I didn't expect that when I was praying with all the children and the kids that come up, you know, they were hugging us and everyone was crying and I was crying and the whole team was crying. It was like, it was amazing. It was just, that was the highlight, the moment for me in Uzbekistan. And I don't know what's going to happen when I go to Africa. I really don't know what I'm going to come across and how God's going to touch my heart. And how he's going to break me some more. I've been praying that prayer for some people here in the church to be broken, you know, for myself. And actually, I've been praying for basically everyone to be broken in this church, just to be broken more for God. I think it's just you know, what we need, just keep getting broken more and more and more. And that's really the reason why I'm going on this trip is to just to be with Jimmy. He's been my life, and I've been, you know, just sharing a lot of my life with him, and just to be broken more, you know, by God. And just thank you for letting me share.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to share with you guys why I'm going to South Africa. When Jimmy told us about the trip, I was really interested because I believe that God's given me a heart for the poor and the needy and a desire to help them and do something with them. But so when Jimmy talked about it, I was really interested, but I told God that I didn't want to go because I want to go. I wanted to go if God was the one sending me. So I asked him to give me a verse to confirm that he's sending me to this trip. So this is the verse that I got. And it comes from Jeremiah chapter 22. And God is speaking through Jeremiah to a king, to the king of Judah, whose father was a really good king, but he's a bad king. So God's just sort of rebuking him, and he's saying, "Does it make you a king to have more and more cedar? Did not your father have food and drink? He did what was right and just, so all went well with him. He defended the cause of the poor and the needy, and so all went well. Is that not what it means to know me? Declares the Lord." So that was a verse that God gave me, and I don't want to go with my compassion, my own sympathy and pity. I want to go because of God's heart for the poor and God's heart for the children and the widows. So the Bible always says he's a father to the fatherless and defender of the widow, right? So just want to go with that kind of a heart.
Amen.
That's a good motivation to go because he wants God's heart for the poor and needy because God has told him to go. And that's what we're striving for, that our hearts are pure when we go. That when we go, that they would see that we come with the love of God and that we're here because of the love of God. And that's a very good motive. And he'll come back much richer. We'll come back much richer in him. Bernice, could you come up for a moment and wrap things up?
You know, I always tell Jimmy, I said I'm a baby Christian, although I grew up as a Christian, but dude, this is like more than I've ever spoken in front of a congregation my entire life on today. But what we want to tell you is just a very basic statistics, but most people do know that already. I mean, in South Africa alone, they have 25 million infected with HIV/AIDS. I mean, worldwide, it's 40 million, right? Half of the 25 in South Africa are women. I mean, we're talking about women carrying, more than half shouldering the burden here. So that's what we call Operation Simunye. Simunye in the Zulu word meaning we are one, like Jimmy said. But basically the message you're communicating is that your burden is our burden. So for however long we can carry that burden, I know for the 10, 14 days we're there, it's nothing. But for that little short period of time, we wish to carry that burden with you. And like our South African friend said, you don't have to feel sorry for them. They're doing amazing work. They really are doing something to help themselves. And because of the effort that they're putting in, the amazing work that they're doing, we just want to be involved in that and say, how can we be a part of that? How can we, for these little short amount of time, do something for you? And even afterwards, continue to do that. So I'm not going to just bore you with who's dying, how many people, and how you can die. But because we all know 1 in 3 in Johannesburg adults have HIV. So this is what we want to do. It's not only to educate you, but just to open your hearts. And I thank you so much for all of you to just open your hearts to the cause, because we're not just giving money. So this is why, as a baby Christian the way I am, is that I don't want to just give money. I actually do want to see where this is going. And this means a lot to me and us, because we are actually, like Simon says, growing time. It's something we cannot grow. We can grow money. We can build houses. Everything can grow if you wanted to. But time is a constant. But because we're giving a commodity such as time, we're in an essence growing time. And that's what we hope to do and continue to do with every one of our missions.
Thank you.
I'm just going to take just a few minutes with you, and then we're going to just close. Can you hear me? No? Let's try this again. Okay, there we go. If you could turn to James. James, chapter 2, verse 14. And I'm going to just start reading because of time. It says that, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go and wash, or go and I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing to keep about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds.' Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder." And then it goes on more and more about deeds and so forth. And I'm just reminded when I was in Mongolia years ago, and I kept seeing the poor conditions of the people there, and it's particularly children, and you know, just witnessing children in living in sewages. They call them sewage kids. They live down there so long that they don't even know that they have stench. They can't smell each other because they've been down there so long. They're used to it. They are ones that they call them the dejects and the dogs of the society. And I just remember Nate was on, I think he was on that first team that we took to Mongolia back in 87. Was that you, Nate? Or were you on the second team? Okay, you were. Oh, I mean 97. You're 97. Yeah. I get my decades mixed up now. I got so many of them now. But I remember we went to a park and we saw some of these children, street children. They were hanging out in the park. And there was one girl who was about 9 years old, and she was hanging out. And you know, you find the street kids, you'll find babies down in the sewage as young as 6 months old. And but when you see a baby or you see a young girl down there, you just feel so sorry because you know that she's subject to all kinds of inhumane things. And so we went to the girl and we went to the guys as they were hanging out. It was cold outside, and we had sweaters, and the kids that we had brought with us, our youth group, and the kids all had designer clothes on, designer sweaters and designer shoes, Nikes and so forth, you know. And probably if you add up what they were wearing, these kids will never make that in their lifetime, you know. So we just went to those kids and we said, you know what? You are the future. You're the future of Mongolia. And you're God's prince and princess. Those girls, the girls and the guys were dumbfounded. They looked at us and was in shock. And then the tears began to roll. And they just kept crying and crying. They were all emotional. They were shook up. They were shaking. They were so shook up. And they just began to say, you know, we asked them, why are you crying so long? And this is 2 hours of just crying. And the reason why they cried for so long is they said, no one has ever told us anything about our lives good. You're the first one ever tell us. How can we be the future of Mongolia when they rejected us? You see, because we come with the word of reconciliation. Children have a destiny and a future. They're very important to us. I can tell the characteristic of a nation by the way they treat their children. If I go in a nation and I see children neglected, I know what that nation's all about. And the reason why the Mongolians didn't reach out to these children, because there's so many street children. What can we do? I mean, there's just so many of them. And all God is asking us, just reach out to the one that I bring before you, and I will bless. Those kids that I took with me in the Mongolia start taking off their designer clothes, their sweaters, and giving them to those kids, their shoes. They emptied their pockets and they gave money not to them, but they gave money to go buy. We went and bought them lots of clothing and things, you know, so they could be warm in the wintertime. And as I began to come in contact with more and more children. I said, God, what am I going to do? I can't do anything with these kids. You know, I want to help them. What can I do? And God said, you know, Jimmy, who has planted in your heart to give to these children? Just think about your life in the past. You would never be thinking about giving these kids anything. I put that in your heart. Now all you have to do is ask me, and you shall receive. I said, okay, God, you've used me. Just use me. Any way you want to use me, I'll come back to Mongolia, or I'll go to the world, and I'll touch every child you put before me. He said, you don't know what you're asking. I said, yes, but I'll pay the price. And you know, God has taken me up on that, to work with children. And I've been able to work with children in all capacities, in different capacities. I've been able to work with sex slaves children and labor slave children in Beijing, China. And the street children in Mongolia. And now we're going to South Africa. And you know what? God has always provided. It's amazing when our hands are open, how God will bless you. Okay, I open my hands, God. I'm an open vessel. We've been able to help many children in Mongolia that are without legs, without limbs, because it's so cold. It gets down minus 50 Celsius, 50 to 60 Celsius in Mongolia. And so many of those kids that live in those sewages will lose their arms because they'll be, you know, this is the whole frostbite. And some of them just catch diseases and different things. And so God has just been able to use us to buy prosthesis for them. And